Welcome to the M2 Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Anty. My co-host right here is Kyle Heath. This is the show where we cover the week's video game related news. We're talking new and upcoming games, esports and personalities, general gaming industry related news, and we like to sprinkle a little technology in there too. Kyle, what have you been up to, man? How was your week? We haven't spoken much aside from, like, I think sending each other Twitter posts and like random like memes and stuff. But yeah. Like, I don't think we've actually talked about what's going on.
No, I don't think we have. Yeah, I mean, this week, I think overall is a pretty good week. It's coming off, you know, like, you know, for me, like, work-wise, I took some time off this week, and then, like, Thanksgiving's next week, so most people in the U.S. are going to be out, so it's kind of just like, you know, it's a holiday season. It's kind of in full effect, I feel like, but, yeah, that's good, but it's also the time for gaming, right? It's a lot of time to get some games in, so,
it's this perfect
week,
time.
Yeah. So, this week, I played another chapter of Alan Wake 2, kind of edging along in that game. It's still very interesting, but it's one of those things I'm just kind of trying to, like, at this point, I feel like I'm getting in maybe a chapter or two a week. I don't know how many there are, but it may take me a little while. I eventually want to sit down and do, like, a solid, like, full, like, 6-hour session or something just to kind of get as much done as I can, but we're kind of just chipping my way along in that game. One of the other games that came along that's eating away at some of that time, can't say I'm super proud of this decision, but when you're influenced by some friends, all right, it's that beginning of November starts. You all used to play this game a lot in your teen years, and they still make a release every year.
It's Fortnite?
Nah.
Oh, new Call of Duty. Oh, yeah, Duty. It is, dude. For some reason, my coworker was talking about it. Here's the thing. So I'll paint the picture so you can continue your story about COD real quick. But we're sitting at work today. We kind of share like a giant desk. It's one of those open floor plans, but we also are kind of divided a little bit from other groups. Yeah. And it's just him and I. We're good friends. We've known each other for about 6 years now. We're around the same age too. So I'm like over here just working. Then I turn around. And I'm like trying to mention something to him about a project. He's over here with just his eyes shut, just like this, just like. And I'm like, "Yo, bro, you good?" And he goes, "I was up all night playing Call of Duty." He's like, "I stayed up till like 2 a.m. playing COD." I'm like,
"Yeah, as a grinder."
I was like, "Dude, let's go get a coffee." And he goes, "I only drink Monster Energy." And I was like, "All right, we'll go get a coffee and then we'll go to 7-Eleven."
I was gonna say, like, y'all in Uptown, you could just go like down the street. You're at a 7-Eleven, so like just step outside 5 minutes. You're
100%. Oh man. So yeah. Yeah, so apparently it's all right. It's Call of Duty, right? Is that your take so far?
I mean, the reason I kind of like I'm not proud of it is because, especially if like people have paid attention to kind of the overall like kind of, you know, I want to say like thumbprint. You know what I'm saying? Kind of
signature,
the overall like
maybe?
Yeah, just like the overall vibe of like the game and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's very much like the campaign is trash, which it is. I don't support the campaign. The campaign is really like bad. It's only a few hours. It's very generic, like very uninspired. It's pretty bad. I haven't played it. Don't plan on playing it. Just leave it at that. Campaign's pretty bad. The multiplayer, a lot of questionable decisions and some of like the challenges and how, you know, attachments and everything are unlocked through whether it's a daily challenge or something like that. It's very like Simtex and stuff like that. Like to use a grenade or like to unlock grenades, you just have to do daily challenges. Some people got into a loop where they were doing daily challenges, and one of their daily challenges, Mike, was to use a Simtex and get a kill to unlock the Simtex. I'm not making this up. This is the type of challenges you get. It's pretty bad. but that would
have me furious.
Yeah. There's a lot of dumb decisions like that in the game. I mean, there's a battle pass, which I have no earthly interest in ever touching, because it's just like, I don't know, it's COD battle pass. I'm not really, like, some skins, really. It's like all cosmetics. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mainly got it just because, like, the boys got it. The MW2 maps are in there, the old 2009 MW2 maps. So it's like, you know, you get to play some of the old maps. The gunplay's not, I mean, it's not too bad, I don't think, from what I've played. I mean, it's kind of just like, it's, you know, it's like your standard 2019 style COD, I feel like, with like the movement kind of slightly dulled down. And there's like slide canceling and stuff. That's kind of back from some of the kind of older games. But But yeah, it's overall, I mean, I like the way the maps look for the most part. I think it did a good job of kind of, you know, some of the maps were brought back and there's like a lot of visual kind of enhancements done to them, kind of bringing some life to them. So I think those are pretty well done. But yeah, I mean, all the guns, like there are new guns in this game, but also the Modern Warfare 2 guns carry over from last year. So it's kind of like you have all those guns and then all of the last COD's guns just kind of in one game. I think a lot of those maps too are also carried over. So it's kind of just like, the biggest thing is like, oh, this feels like a $70 DLC, which you could argue that easily that it probably is. But you know, it's one of those things like, you know, we've been, you know, we played the beta and I enjoyed it, I think, for the most part. So, you know, when we came around to it, we bought it like a few days after release and we were just like, yeah, might as well just get it and play some. And I don't know, it's been, I think it's been, you know, relatively enjoyable. Whether it's worth $70. I haven't tried the zombies yet. A lot of people, like, I think going into this game weren't sure about the zombies. I always thought it looked pretty interesting. It's like if anyone played the DMZ mode from like previous games, it's like that with zombies. So yeah, and I don't know, it's something I do still want to try out. From what I heard too, it's like it's kind of like an extraction based system. So like it's like a 45 minute like session. Like you essentially go in, you like kill zombies, whatever, 45 minutes. You get like guns and whatnot. Apparently if you extract with a specific weapon, then you actually get it, you unlock in the multiplayer, which I find interesting. So it's kind of like, you know, if there's like the ACR in this game is like the MZW or something like that, like that, it's like level 44 to unlock that or something like that. But apparently if you go into zombies and you get the gun in the game and you extract with it, you can actually unlock it ahead of time. It's pretty interesting.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's like kind of like it's the way of kind of like interweaving kind of everything almost into one like ecosystem. So that stuff was pretty cool, and I do plan to play zombies like whenever, you know, probably this coming weekend at some point. I'll probably play some, and that'll good, I think justify some of the $70 for me. I think is to kind of check out that mode and get some time in there too.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I think overall, like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's probably not worth $70, but at the same time, it's like it depends. I like to think the price tag is how many hours am I going to spend in the game and will I get my money's worth in that regard. And so, like, I think in COD I'll at least get $70 worth just the amount of time I'll play it between zombies and multiplayer.
What do you think the overall sentiment right now of the fan base is?
I think, like, from what I see, it's like, it really depends on what the algorithm feeds you. Because, like, there's a lot wrong with the game. And, like, so I see a lot of stuff talking about those challenges in particular. And, like, I see some people doing, like, kind of finding, like, you know, they're already finding, like, out-of-the-map glitches and stuff like that, which I think is, like,
I did see a clip of that, actually.
I always find, like, that fascinating. Like, it's not, like, you know, super crazy, like.
As long as it's not, like, ranked games, I'm not worried about it.
Right, yeah, I mean.
But if it's in ranked games, it's, like, that needs to be patched immediately, you know? Yeah. It's, like, that's going to be a good time for anybody that's, I mean, if you're in ranked, you want it to be legit as possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right, yeah, I mean, there's stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think overall, like, most people probably aren't pleased with the $70 price tag, but, I mean, people still buy it anyway because it's Call of Duty, so it's like...
Unfortunately, you know, that is true.
Yeah, it's the unfortunate truth, kind of this, like, you know. And, the campaign, I just wish it was an actual campaign. Like, I feel like there's no, like, legit campaign. That's kind of upsetting, but...
You know. Yeah, it's upsetting for me, too, because I told you, and on this pod, like, several times that... For Call of Duty, for me, it's like I like playing the story mode. That's just one of the things. I want to experience a new story. I want to get in there.
Yep.
And then afterwards, I want to get online and just start playing, like, just random pub games, talking trash to random people and, like, having fun, you know?
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, if you don't have a good campaign, I'm like, I don't really want to get on. Sorry.
Yeah,
and then it's like apparently the games are all just, like, mismatch. Or not mismatch. They're just, like... a ragtag Frankenstein's monster kind of like past experience of all the other CODs all formed into one with no like mission and nothing really new. It feels like, that's just what I've seen on Twitter and like Reddit.
Yeah, no, there's all these arguments about SPMM too, because that's in Call of Duty. So yeah, like, there's all that. That's gets kind of muddy.
You gotta figure that out, man.
But yeah,
facts.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, right now it's like, I don't fully regret the purchase, but. I think I'll enjoy zombies and stuff, so we'll see. It's interesting. But that took up some of my Alan Wake time this week. I'm gonna play Alan Wake 2 because of that.
Speaking of Alan Wake, dude, I got a text from one of my like best friends earlier today, and all he said was OMFG, like text message, OMFG, Alan Wake 2, you have to play this. It's like, I'll get to it, man. I got like so many things on the list that I haven't had time.
I mean, hey, dude. I second that sentiment. I mean, I'm only a few chapters in, but it is very different in the best way possible so far. So
yeah, I've seen like random clips here and there, and then I'm like, oh wow, that looks amazing. But I was like, I don't know the context. I don't want to look into it. Then I like exit out of the screen. You're like immediately like get out of there as quickly as possible.
Yeah, no. I'm like that too. Anytime I like stumble upon a stream or someone's talking about it, or like if they're playing it, I just don't click on it. I'm just like, I don't want to experience it. So
exactly. Yeah. That's what's cool about single player games.
Yeah, no. It's like, yeah, you gotta go in blind. But yeah. Outside of that, you know, sport ball every now and again, catching the games.
Oh, yeah. Not, so. Yeah, actually, I didn't even watch any games this week. I skipped out on Thursday Night Football. I said no.
Yeah, like, good call.
Real quick. I got multiple text messages from people. I've gotten added in multiple Discords where, like, I follow sports and we talk sports in there. They all know what teams I support. I'm very vocal. And most of the sentiment was like, all right, you might have been right. It's unfortunate about the... Yeah. It is. The hopium is long gone.
Yeah, but yeah very upsetting. A few years, Mike. A few years. You know, that's all I'll say. When you're... I'm 40, maybe.
That's sad but true.
Yeah.
At least the Canes are doing okay. They could be playing better specifically right in this moment.
I don't know. Don't tell me the score.
It's all good. But for me, dude, I'm excited to get into a lot of these articles because I haven't done much gaming this last week. I've had family in town for the first day and stuff like that. And like, while I was waiting for you to get on, I was playing Forza Horizon 5. This kind of pissed me off, right? Just real quick mini rant. Forza Horizon and pretty much any like Xbox exclusive, it seems, is kind of wonky in some ways. Now, what I mean by that is I tried to play Forza Horizon 5. I played it for like a good handful of hours when it first came out. And then I think Infinite came out. Something came out that like took my attention away. So I stopped playing it for a while. I uninstalled it from my hard drive, like my primary hard drive where I boot software from, like Windows. Yep. To a separate game dedicated drive. And if you do that, apparently there's files or something that's like left behind, and then the game can no longer launch unless you manually move those files back to where the rest of the game is.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. So I hadn't been playing for like the longest time because like I want to get a quick race in, you know? I got the new, here, let me actually show it off. I got the new steering wheel.
Ooh.
For the Thrustmaster.
Yeah, that's kind of sick. What the heck?
Yeah, so I was like, this is a birthday gift. So I was like, I want to test it out,
that's
man.
That's pretty sick.
I tried to get into it, and it wouldn't let me launch. And I was like, I Googled it. I was trying to figure out what's going on online. And then that's when I found out about the files. I was like, well, how do you fix it? And they're like, well, you have to go find these files and do all these different stuff. And I was like, okay, there's got to be a better alternative. They're like, uninstall it from one drive and move it to the other one where the files are. And I was like, okay. Took forever, dude. So I finally got it done, man, and it wouldn't boot. And then I turned off my computer, and I turned it on. That was like 3 days ago, and I just now turned on my computer before we were going to start. It booted up immediately, and I'm like, all right, we're racing, buddies. We're going. And it's a great game. I'm having fun. So
yeah,
just my little... Oh, yeah, and I played Clone Hero. Went through all the Blink-182 songs I have.
Dude, I was like jamming out some Blink songs on my guitar like this week because I just like got the bug again to listen to the album. So I was like, what's going on?
Dude, they're so good. That new album's fire.
I know. It's really good.
Really good.
Dude, yeah. I'm happy about that. It's good, dude. It's all good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
What's really good is our first article because I'm very excited. This hits homegrown for me, man. I'm very excited to talk about it. So you're the reader. Let's get it.
So you say like this first article? What you said?
Yeah, I do.
What's the first article for you? Hold on. Do we have articles out of order? I'm not really sure.
I hope we have Activision Blizzard.
We do.
Game
but,
battles.
Yeah. You're happy about what's happening to game battles too?
No, I'm happy about talking about it.
Okay.
Because I have like I have plenty of things to say.
Yeah,
like,
you have a lot to say. Yeah.
Yeah, like for game battles, I used to play that growing up, like between 2005 to like 2012. Yeah.
I will say
I used to play it all the time.
Yeah, I did as well. Like early 2010s, right? Yeah, very sad news. However, I will say you have, I believe you mentioned this in the podcast before about game battles in MLG and what the Activision literally Blizzard acquisition from Microsoft 2 weeks ago. Could mean. Yeah. Yeah, like they should do something with it, right?
100%.
Well, they're not doing the thing we necessarily want, Mike.
No, they're not actually.
Yeah. Anyways, Dexerto, I got this article from Activision Blizzard closes game battles as esports division cuts continue. Oh, Jeremy Gann, Dexerto, game battles is shutting down as Activision Blizzard continues to cut its esports division following the closure of the Overwatch League. On New Year's Eve 2015, it was announced that MLG, one of the biggest esports tournament organizers in the world, had been acquired by Activision Blizzard to build up their esports arm, namely with franchise leagues in Overwatch and Call of Duty. However, 2023 marks the last year the OWL, as Activision Blizzard announced, cuts to their esports division, leaving questions up in the air about the future of Overwatch and, to an extent, Call of Duty esports. Now, as esports winter continues to chill, game battles, an iconic community platform, one of the longest running online tournament organizers, is shutting down as well. Game Battles community, they tweeted. After careful consideration, we have decided to shut down the Game Battles platform and service as of January 15th, 2024. If you have any questions about your account or the shutdown, please visit our support site at gamebattles.majorleaguegaming.com/support. And also Game Battles Twitter page, pretty much just reading the tweet back again. The shutdown was elaborated on by Chris, MLG Chris, who was the operations supervisor of Game Battles, a longtime member of MLG. Our team learned yesterday that Activision Blizzard has decided to shut down Game Battles, the last remaining branch of MLG, by mid-January. The entire team at Game Battles has been notified we're being let go as part of the closure. The post is very long, much longer than what I read, but I won't click into it just yet.
Yeah.
There's a little more in this article, so he continued on by saying, this didn't have to happen. There's so much untapped potential with MLG, game battles, and the future of esports.
Yes.
I hope one 100%. Day, and Mike agrees, okay. I hope one day MLG and game battles get the attention they deserve. Not for me or anyone who worked there, but for the amazing community they created.
100%.
Very well said, right?
100%, dude. Like, I don't think... I don't know what happened after Activision Blizzard ended up buying MLG. None of it makes sense because they never really used it. I think they just tried to build the overall infrastructure to try to implement it into their CDL and also Overwatch League. And then when both of them essentially imploded, Activision Blizzard's like, well, I guess all of this is trash. It's like, bro, like Game Battles was there before Face It. And I think so. That might be a bold statement. We might need to look that one up. But they've been there forever. And they're really, really good. They had a dedicated forum. I mean, nobody uses forum. Everybody uses Discord now. Mediums change, right?
Yeah.
But, like, Game Battles can adapt. And Game Battles is such a good concept. And the overall, like, Major League Gaming, where you have multiple esports titles under one giant league, like, in different umbrellas, it's fascinating to me. I did like how, which continues on the article, is when Adam Apicella ended up talking more about in detail of what like Game Battles and MLG brought for him and what it brought for the rest of the community and what you can actually like accomplish with it and how Activision Blizzard kind of dropped the ball. I mean, Chris is absolutely right. It's like there's a lot of things that they really could have used MLG for. MLG used to be on USA Network on cable television early in the morning on Saturdays.
Yeah, like quite literally.
Dude, like what are you guys doing? Like use the game, use the title.
I don't know.
Use the product.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll continue on the article a little bit, right? So Game Battles was largely responsible for the organization of multiple open circuit tier 2 and 3 competitions in CDL Challengers, Warzone, Overwatch, and Call of Duty Mobile for Activision Blizzard. Multiple interested parties have publicly put up offers to salvage the brand, including former MLG head and esports engine founder Adam Apicella. Whether or not Activision Blizzard is interested in selling the property, however, remains to be seen. They should. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they don't want it, they should.
I don't know. Like, so one of the things that's kind of crazy about MLG is It actually, I didn't really find out until about 22. I found only like 5 years ago. MLG still owns the rights to certain esports teams and their like their likeness. So like the Ambush logo or the Straight Rippin logo and stuff like that. That's actually was originally owned by MLG. I think they allowed the licensing to go back to like Tom Taylor T Squared so that he can partner up with the Space Station. Shout out to Space Station, the merch that you're holding right now or wearing. But the I feel like MLG is still a huge brand and they still have a lot of proprietary copyright that they can still use or hold on to that's going to be very valuable in the future. It's almost like holding on to patents, I think, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I certainly agree. I know I know you have experience with game battles. I do too, you know. Like I said, early 2010s, whenever COD was like, you know, at its peak, arguably, I think it was when the boys and I would run, we would just look on game battles and we would just run matches like all night. I remember we did that for so ages. Many times. We did that for hours and hours and hours and days. It's like,
yeah, man.
It's crazy to think about looking back. Like we definitely put like at least hundreds of hours into that. Just like playing competitive matches outside of like, cause it really wasn't like a ranked mode until Black Ops 2 for Call of Duty. So it was like then it's like, if you want to play competitive games, it's like, all right, let's go on game battles. That's all you really had, right?
That's true. It's perfect for like, yeah, what they're saying, tier 2, tier 3 competitions and stuff. Tier 3 being like just pickup games, tier 2 being like semi-pro teams that are licensed, like partnered up. But I think the untapped potential, it's kind of dicey because it's like I mentioned Discord earlier. More and more people are moving now to PC. They're not just on console anymore. And now they can be on Discord. Discord is now integrated to the consoles. So you can have communities where they have these bots controlling everything and they have like their own ranking system. You can find like the more you play, the more you report your matches, the better rank that you get or worse rank, kind of like a skill-based matchmaking system, but everybody there's to be at like the top level. Rocket League is a fantastic example of this. There's Rocket League servers that have some of the best bots I've ever seen where they'll take your in-game ranking and then they'll separate that into their game system and then you have to fight your way up in the ranks. And then when you get to the top of the ranks, you're literally facing like actual pro players that are on the main circuit, like on major teams, as long as like you're good enough to keep up with them. It's a really good training ground, I think, for people that are trying to be professional gamers. So I wonder if something like that Discord is going to take over, but I think game battles can integrate it, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think like, you know, it's just around this. Like the nostalgia of the game battles brand, I would hate to see it go, and it kind of sucks to see it go in this context.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, it'd be cool to see it like come back in a certain way. But yeah, I mean, it's like now. I mean, it's so funny because and kind of ironic because now it's like public matches and like shooters now are so like heavily skill based matchmaking. It's like not even ranked, right? Like if you're playing ranked, it's not really like ranked is what it is, but like. Public matches are also ranked to a certain extent.
That's true. Skill-based matchmaking, I think, has taken away some of the fun, though. Because, like, it's the general public.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You. Like, it's, yeah, it's... That's why I say it's ironic, because it's like, these public social games are turning into ranked games, right? Like, which is annoying.
It is, because I think that's one thing that the developers don't understand, is that there's just... There's two different levels of like competitive gaming. There's like the people that just want to be better and just win matches. And then there's just the straight up well, I mean, there's more levels, but here's kind of the extreme of the competitive, like casually competitive where you're just trying to go into rank up your number, like feel good about it and like get the wins, right? I totally get that. But then there's just straight up degen level behavior where they grind for like 14 hours straight and all they care about is being the best person that's ever played the game period, which is a different mentality altogether, you know. And I feel like they're just like, oh yeah, well you guys basically play the same so you can be in the same lobby. It's just like, no, they're not the same.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like that same mindset. Remember that video I sent you yesterday? Like, so you saw, it's kind of like that. He touched on that in that video, kind of just like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's so weird the matchups you get now, because it's like you'll be playing against people like basement dwellers who are like, you know, going so hard. It's like, you're just like, why am I here? Like,
Yeah, it's like, bro, I'm like, I just got home from work. I'm trying to decompress and I just want to shoot some things. Like, I'm not trying to like just insta spawn dead because like, I played really well last night, you know?
Yeah. So it is, yeah, though, when you start getting good, you know?
Yeah, it's very frustrating when that happens, but it's part of it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it is. It'd be nice to have, like, keep this... It'd be nice if, like, socials were socials again, and then we could have, like, a separate service, like, either a ranked mode, or, like, we could... If you really wanted to, like, get a ranking in something, you could have, like, a game battles or something to go into and,
like, play. You know what's... You know what I think is going to be ironic? So, I think that they got rid of MLG in game battles because of the skill-based matchmaking. I think that's just across the board. Most games now all have some type of hidden MMR, like, system to... make it so it's always sweaty and you're always playing against people and your win-loss percentage is always going to be 50%. Okay? I get that. From a psychological standpoint, if you win 10 times in a row, you get bored, you stop playing. If you lose 10 times in a row, you get frustrated, you stop playing. But if you win like two in a row, lose one, win one, and then lose three, and it's like they try to keep you psychologically searching for that high of like, I got to get that win, right? But... the irony is that's becoming so frustrating because everybody now understands what's happening. So they're like now going back to custom games, which is what game battles should be. So it's like, and when it ends up being like that, it's like, well, you just got rid of it. And now you're kind of making a new policy. Wish we had it. Yeah. Go back to customs, set teams and make things as evenly as possible and fun as possible.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, no, now it's like you're doing your own game battles nowadays. You're trying to those custom games going.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing in these Halo Discord servers that I'm all in. Yeah. It's like we just try to make the teams as evenly as possible to have as much fun as possible. We'll do like best of 11s. And it's like if we do the first best of three and it's a slaughter for one team, we're like, all right, somebody propose a switch and then we'll keep the series going. So,
yeah.
It's
kind of sick.
Try to keep people... Yeah, you don't want people losing all the time. You want them to have fun.
Yeah.
But we've ranted about this.
Do you know who else wants people to have fun with their handheld gaming devices?
Is it the most legendary handheld ever? Nintendo? No, it's Valve.
Imagine. Switch.
Now, we got some stuff for Switch eventually, I think. Okay, so Valve reveals time when Steam Deck OLED will be available to purchase on November 16th. Ladies and gentlemen, updates for device will only be available in the US and Canada. I'm sorry for everybody that's in Europe, South America, and Australia, Oceania, Asia.
F.
Yeah, L's. But this has come from Kat Bailey at IGN, pretty reputable source. So Valve has revealed the time when fans can expect to purchase the Steam Deck OLED, which is recently announced for a November 16th release. The announcement came with a renewed promise to combat bots and resellers, which has been an ongoing concern amid major releases like this one. So, in a post on X or Twitter, I love it how they do the same thing we do. It's like, do you want to call it Twitter yet? No, never. So in a post on Twitter, Valve confirmed that the Steam Deck OLED will go on sale November 16th at 10 a.m. Pacific time and will only be available in the U.S. and Canada. Valve also announced that it will take steps to limit bots and resellers seeking to profit from its limited edition model, which will be sold in limited quantities. You need to be in the United States or Canada. Your account needs to be in good standing. Your account needs to have made a purchase on Steam before November 2023, and only one unit may be purchased per account. I like that.
I like that too. I can't lie.
That's a really good idea.
Look at them. Look at them.
That makes sense. It reminds me of what Sony had to do with the PS5 during the panty.
Yeah.
So
very true.
So Valve also said, we see the limited edition model as an experiment, both in terms of learning how to pull it off, as well as gauging customer demand. We're hopeful that people are excited about this release. And if we see a high demand, it will give us confidence to do more colorways in the future.
Colorways.
That's interesting.
Ooh. I like that.
That makes sense, actually. If you think about it, it's like we're going to open up to US and Canada first. This is the test market. See if it's worth the effort to actually go further and buy a new one or see who has one or not. I see you just you replied to the poll. So it's like, are you upgrading to the Steam Deck OLED? Yes. Oh, so I should probably preference this. This is a poll or a survey on the article. So are you upgrading to the Steam Deck OLED? 26.8% the lowest amount said that yes, they are going to upgrade. No, 35.1% said that. And then a whopping majority of the three, 38.2%, first time buying Steam Deck. So that means that there's still a market available. Pretty cool. Oh, and yeah. You also said it would be your first time buying Steam Deck.
As I don't own one. There is one in this house, but it is not mine.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Pre-wear?
His look girlfriend, actually.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah, she has one.
Should borrow it.
I've used it a couple times. It's nice. Anyway.
I heard it's pretty nice. Okay, so we got some model information for you guys. So all Steam Deck OLED versions will feature enhanced OLED displays, better audio, and an estimated 30% to 50% battery life improvement over the launch version. I wonder if it'll have the portable batteries or the replaceable batteries. Remember how that's supposed to be a nice, going, you know, requirement?
I mean, yeah, EU's kind of pushing it, you know what I'm saying?
A fact. So that'll be cool to see. It will be available in 512 gigabytes and 1 terabyte configurations, which will cost $550, $549, and $650 respectively. The original LCD model, meanwhile, will see its price reduced as Valve seeks to clear inventory, supply and demand. Let's go. Yeah, so the 64 gigabyte model will be $350. The 256 gigabyte model will be $400. The 512 gigabyte model will be $450. So that is for the LCD models. We're seeing, what is that? A decrease of almost $200 on some of these, some of them 50. Just depends on the gigabyte range. It's kind of scaled that way.
Yeah.
So IGN wrote in their Steam Deck OLED review, "The Steam Deck OLED brings a fantastic, vibrant screen to Valve's handheld gaming PC, but its most impressive upgrade is the much improved battery life. Combined with all its other small but altogether significant improvements, not to mention more storage at the same price, and it's enough to tempt every current Steam Deck owners into upgrading." Interesting. Kind of like upgrading a new phone.
Kind of is. Yeah, it literally is that, I feel like.
Yeah.
A new phone.
It's cool.
That's really cool, man. I'm very impressed with the pricing, I think. Not only of the new ones, but also the old ones.
It's really fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's well done.
Yeah, I think it's really fair. I think if you had to choose between getting a tablet, like something that I have, where you can do Ultimate Game Pass and stream Xbox games to it or PC games to it, and then you can just like USB to an actual Xbox controller or whatever USB device you have for a controller, it might make more sense to just go with the handheld now with that kind of decrease.
Right. I mean, it's an impressive device from like when I've used it. It's very like the screen, even the LCD screen looks nice, I think. But the fact that they put an OLED in it, it's like way better, right? It's like, I think this is pretty awesome. And now it's like if I want a Steam Deck, it's like I can get an OLED. Like I can go with something a little more upgraded. I don't know. I feel like for me, getting a handheld, I will probably be more apt to getting one probably when like the second iteration of the Steam Deck comes out, I feel like. Just because like that's probably when they would work best for me to try and like get into the handheld market. Yeah. That being said, I don't know. Steam Deck 2 could be like 5 years away for all we know. So I don't know.
It's really hard to tell with Valve on when like second generations are going to come out in anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a nice little mid-cycle refresh is what this seems like, you know?
It's very true. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I want to see a Nintendo Switch OLED next. I don't think there's been so many rumors about Nintendo Switch and what they plan on doing.
Yeah. I mean, there is a Switch OLED.
Is there? Did that come out recently?
Yeah, that was like the mid-cycle refresh of the Switch. Because everyone thought it was going to be the Switch 2, and they were like, oh, no, it's Switch OLED. So, they put an OLED on the Switch. So.
Yeah, the OLED for the Switch is $350 on the official website.
Yeah. It seems like I think it seems like Steam Deck's OLED is a bit of a bit better of an iteration than the Switch OLED. Just because I think storage-wise, price-wise, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Seems like it would be. I think if you're going to be playing, I mean, it's kind of the reason why Nintendo games are a little bit simplistic in terms of graphics. Like, they're very, very fun. They're visually aesthetically pleasing, but in terms of super performance, I wouldn't get a Switch and think it's going to be crazy, you know?
Yeah.
But like a Steam Deck, you can upgrade the storage to 1 terabyte configurations, and the graphics are going to look amazing. And you can also do all these different types of mods because essentially it's a PC.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes it dare that I gives say, it the X factor, I think.
True. Dare I say you load an emulator on it, make it the best of all worlds. Dare I say?
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Yeah, you're reminding me that I got to go get the developer version of the Xbox Series X.
Oh yeah.
One-time $20 payment, and then I can have all my emulators again.
Oh baby, just a little thought I had. Don't connect to the internet. Wasn't that the thing? Is like don't put it on the internet if you're downloading like things on it because it could ban you or something. Or is that not a thing?
No, that is not a thing. If you have the developer kit like upgraded version, they allow you to do that.
Okay.
It's like part of their licenses because it makes you some type of developer so you can get into it. I think it's a loophole. I think it's a legal loophole. I don't know. I haven't looked too far into it. I just know that if you upgrade to the dev kit, then you can still use the emulators. Which
interesting, yeah. Every time I think about those dev kits, I just think about what was those like first couple Halo events we went to. It was like the dev kit Xboxes.
Those are
like
beefy, man. Boys.
Yeah, they were big.
Yeah.
They're cool. They had like some weird display at the front too, giving you like, you know,
temperature readings, debugging, yeah,
it's wild.
Error codes. Yeah. The good old days when you couldn't find a Series X.
Oh man, but yeah, dude, good on Valve and Steam, right?
That's I think like so. I think the handhelds have been hitting hard this year. All the new iterations and all the different companies coming out with them. It's clearly the future.
It's wild, man. Because I would think VR would like be the future progressing more, but I feel it's still like upgrading, right? Like they're still making strides, but like handhelds just came out of nowhere. I feel like and just resurged again.
I think there's a easier barrier for entry, a harder barrier for entry in VR because you need to have like the sticks, you need to have a headset. You need to have like the goggles on and you can't really see in your room. It's kind of like you're just imagine having your eyes closed right now and just walking around your room.
Yeah, it's but true. Yeah, it's a fair point.
It's not that comforting. Yeah. Whereas how about I just pick up my phone like I normally do, except my phone is now 3 times bigger and has controllers on the end. You know, no, it's like that seems a little bit easier, better.
Yeah, that's a good point. Cannot lie. Cannot lie.
Yes, sir. So I don't know how to segue, dude.
I don't know a good segue for this one either.
You like sharks? Because we got a guy that's a shark. That was a great transition, I think.
I like it. It's better than anything I would have came up with.
I didn't know what else to say. Like, there's no like segue sharks? For this article.
You like sharks? Because there's a giant shark guy. You see that guy?
Oh, what's man. His name, like Bruce or something?
Something. Maybe the article.
I'm gonna look up the.
Maybe the article from Kotaku, Zach Sweezen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Zach. I probably butchered your name. Sweezen, Swizen.
Swazen.
Swazen. Swazen.
I have no idea.
Listen,
we butcher everybody's last name all the time.
All right, everybody, listen. Suicide Squad game resurfaces with a big map and live service plans. Rocksteady released the first episode of the new behind-the-scenes video series for its upcoming supervillain game. There's the shark in all its glory.
King Shark.
King Shark.
That's all it is.
I know Harley Quinn. Isn't that Harley Quinn? That's the only one I know.
I think everybody knows Harley Quinn, dude.
Deadshot in this name? I don't even know their names. Something like that.
Yeah. Deadshot's there. Looks like Peacekeeper's there as well. And Polka Dot Man. All right, let's get into it.
Rocksteady is finally ready to start talking about the Suicide Squad killed the Justice League after delaying it again earlier this year. The studio first announced its upcoming supervillain co-op action game way back in 2020. In a new video series going behind the scenes of the game, the devs explained how big its map will be and showed off some new cutscenes. Conveniently, they barely mentioned any of the live service aspects fans aren't happy about. Conveniently.
Yeah.
Rocksteady went radio silent for most of the year after delaying Suicide Squad from May 2023 to February 2024. This followed negative reactions to a leak in January and later in the first big gameplay reveal in February. Many fans weren't happy about how the game looked, and the game looked a lot like another always online looter shooter built around shooting purple weak points on generic enemies. I'm trying to think what game that is.
Anthem?
Is it Anthem?
No, always online looter shooter that's
purple weak points.
Purple though?
I have no idea. Why am I like I what like Destiny looter shooter? I don't know. Like
that's what I was about to say.
maybe, I don't know. This time around, the first episode of Rocksteady's Suicide Squad Insider, the studio behind the popular Arkham series, wanted to show off more of its upcoming co-op games narrative. Some new gameplay details sneaked in as well. They even linked the video in the article. In the behind-the-scenes video, Rocksteady explained that the open world of Suicide Squad's Metropolis is twice the size and city of Batman Arkham Knight. We also how the game's villains, Harley Quinn, King Shark, Captain Boomerang, and Deadshot. Captain Boomerang, baby. How do they get access to new traversal tools that let them explode large city quickly? It will be useful to stay off the streets, it seems, as Brainiac's minions are running wild down there. Rocksteady also said that, as you'd expect, each villain will play differently, with Quinn being faster and more more acrobatic, you know, aerodynamic maybe, if you will, while King Shark is a heavy hitter who can deal large amounts of damage from above. Throughout the video, Rocksteady developers referenced the Arkham games and their universe multiple times. We knew Suicide Squad was set in that universe, but it seems Rocksteady and Warner Brothers games really, really want you to know that they are going to focus more on mentioning how this new game and those older beloved Batman games connect. Not surprisingly, there are very little talk of the live service elements in the video. Beyond one mention of free post-launch content and a tease of future updates, this new sneak peek was focused entirely on story and gameplay. A studio downplaying those elements feels a lot like Rocksteady reacting to negative feedback from players and critics. However, a new press release did confirm that Suicide Squad will have free seasonal updates that add new characters and missions, as well as Battle Pass with both free and paid tiers. So if you're hoping the live service elements have been removed following the game's recent long delay, doesn't seem to be the case. Suicide Squad Killer Justice League is scheduled to launch on February 2nd, 2024 on PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. The game's $100 fancy edition will also have 3-day early access launch too, like so many other big games these days. Ain't that the truth, Zach? Ain't that the truth? All these games. You know, Mike, if you get the game a week early, you get the campaign. Campaign's not that good, but you get a week early. Call of Duty, baby. Yeah, that's one example.
Yep.
Oh, man. It's crazy. You know what, dude? I'm going to let this video play while we discuss. What do you think, Mike? Oh, gosh.
Good idea.
It's playing on my thing.
Loud.
Okay. All right.
Mute the tab.
Yeah, I'm not going to mute my thing. All right. What do you think about this new Suicide Squad game, Mike? I don't know if you've like heard much about it. I personally, like, I've maybe seen a couple things here and there, but it's not like...
I've seen a couple of things. Having it delayed a couple of times is never a good sign. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. Also, we got to mention the fact that they're not really mentioning live service elements of what they... kind of promising they wanted to do. I think that is a growing trend in the industry from just like past experience over the last like 4 or 5 years of games getting this title of live service element. And then they launch the game, it's unfinished, and the live service elements is actually them updating and fixing the game. You know, yeah. It's that's not what I think is acceptable as a consumer. I think it's really messed up, but I can't say Suicide Squad is going to be that because it's not out. It just looks like that. It gives me that vibe. I do think I'm not really entranced with the whole DC universe too much. I mean, I'll watch the movies. I absolutely love them. Don't get me wrong. I know what I know from shows, mostly only. I've never really read the comics.
Yeah.
But it looks really good, I think. I hope they have some type of... Have you ever played DC Universe Online? I think that's what it's called, DC Universe Online, or...
I never played the RPG. DC. Like, I don't think I played any DC really games, cool. Like, ever.
Yeah, it's like an RPG open world game. It's amazing. You create your own superhero, and, like, in the DC Universe, and you're flying around, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. It's, like, world events. It's been going around for, like, geez, maybe, like, 10 years. It's on, like, every platform. Really cool stuff. So, I think it's really cool what they're trying to do. I hope it's going to be success. Am I going to the $100 fancy version and get the 3-day early access? No, not a shot. Nah. No.
I don't know what you're thinking.
Hey, the guy in the video is wearing the same headphones as me. Let's go.
Let's go.
It does look tough, though. I mean, like, just looking at stuff and I can't say I'm not excited. That's the whole point of the trailer, isn't it?
No.
To like get you ready for it.
I mean, yeah, like so. I mean, gameplay wise, I don't know how much it will be to offer, but like the gameplay itself looks pretty cool. I think yeah. I like the movement and stuff looks pretty fluid. It's like when it comes to games like these, Mike, it's all about the gameplay loop, right? Can you make a satisfying 100%. Gameplay loop? That's like the big thing.
Yeah.
Like, can you make something that'll make you continue playing? So yeah, that's what it's gonna come down to, I think, with this game. Because like visually it looks pretty sick. But it's all about kind of the actual core gameplay. If you can get that loop down, then yeah, you got an audience, you know.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah. And I'm gonna be Shark Guy one. I want to be that. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder, are they going to allow you to create your own character? It seems like it, right?
Yeah, I don't.
Or was that supposed to be Harley Quinn right there?
I mean, that's supposed to be Harley Quinn, I think. I wonder if they'll let you dress your character how you want, because I feel like you have to pick one of them, but like, probably ways to customize outside of that, you know? If you're adding cosmetics, they get different clothes. Pretty sick, sure. I don't know.
And I mean, yeah, if it's really going to be live service, they have to keep adding new chapters to the game.
Yeah. You have to have continual content to have a successful live service, you know?
You do.
That's the thing about, like, planning for these live service games. It's like, I feel like it's a lot more to plan for than, like, any other game. Because it's like, you have to, like, I wouldn't want to start, like, I wouldn't want to announce it and, like, really put it out until I am, like, a couple seasons ahead of, like, what the plan is, right?
Agreed.
And obviously, like, it could change throughout, like, the process and you can update things, but I feel like I'd have to go in with a couple seasons at least, kind of just like here's where we're gonna go.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. You have to have a solid foundation before you can really get into adding the content, and it's a huge undertaking.
Yeah,
because everybody's hoping you top yourself like chapter after chapter or like season after season. It can't just be like every single season you just have a battle pass or like unlockables and cosmetics and be like, it's live service. It's like, bro, you're supposed to be adding to the main story of the game or like adding more seasonal events. It's a little bit more challenging, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, dude,
it looks good though.
Yeah, just watching this, it looks pretty sick. I'll be curious to see kind of how it performs, but yeah, I mean, you know, with delays in games, it can go either way, right? Like, it could be a really bad thing if it gets delayed a lot, or it could be that they are actually improving the game and it'll be good. So, but you know, from May to February, it's a pretty hefty delay. Talking about like what, 8 months? I think it's a pretty big one. But yeah, I mean, the gameplay itself looks pretty solid, I think.
Yeah.
Just from looking at kind of the movement and everything.
Yeah, they announced it in 2020, early 2020. So I wonder when did Suicide Squad come out? I think it was 2020, wasn't it?
It was around that time, right?
I'm gonna look it up.
Because it was like, wasn't there a 2016 Suicide Squad? But I don't know if that was like.
Ooh, was there? Yeah, actually, there was 2016. Oh my gosh, dude.
It's a while ago.
Dude, time has gone quick. Yeah, and then the Suicide Squad was 2021.
Yeah.
So they must have been trying to like tie them all together with the game, and it keeps getting delayed. So it's like, come on, guys, push it out.
Yeah, let's get this game out, you know? Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. Looking at the gameplay, Shark Boy jumping. I'm disrespecting this character, calling the
King,
big shark,
King Shark, brother.
Shark Boy. Like, yeah, it's King Shark.
He has like an actual name, but I can't pronounce it. It's like Ned Neo or something.
What the heck?
I don't even know, brother.
Oh man,
how about we move on to some sad news?
Sad news,
shall we? This is from Rock Paper Shotgun in PC Gaming since 1873. I didn't know that was their headline there. Interesting. So Rock Paper Shotgun released an article. This is from Edwin Evans Thirlwell. That sounds like the most English name imaginable. Is this man? He lives in Rivendell. Oh, he's from Yorkshire. Ha! I was correct. So 505 Games parent Digital Bros lays off 30% of staff due to fears that players don't want a new IP. We've talked about this several times.
God.
I feel like, man,
back.
So many times.
What kind of an excuse is that, Mike?
Right. I mean, if they don't want an IP, let's fire everybody and just not give them one.
Crazy.
So, oh, here we go. Let's get into it. So 505 Games, parent company Digital Bros, has announced, you guessed it, a round of mass layoffs following in the wake of Microsoft, Epic, CD Projekt, Sony, and, well, take your pick, the company aimed to cut roughly 30% of their workforce to shore up profits. The specific reasoning here is the Digital Bros think the people aren't interested in playing original new games. They'd rather get to grips with fictions and franchises they know and love already. As such, the company planned to limit their big budget projects in future, though no specific cancellations have been announced. That is disappointing, man.
Come on,
just
dude.
Canceling.
We don't want to garner the creativity that is the development of a video game.
Phil Spencer would never, dude. Would never.
Same. He does want to revive some of the old Activision IPs, I will say that.
Okay, so from a statement on Digital Bros, I'll read this. It's a quote. So, from the statement, the video game market has evolved since the pandemic to be more selective in terms of new games, with consumers increasingly reverting to well-established intellectual properties and playing these same games for longer periods. Digital Bros' strategy has had to adapt to this new and evolving competitive scenario and will focus its efforts moving forward on the release of sequels and new versions of previously successful and established games with a limited number of new, larger budget productions. Oh, okay, I'll continue before we get into it. In order to prioritize high quality and long-standing successful titles, Digital Bros has reconsidered the number of projects under development and as such will review the organization's structure accordingly to align with the evolving competitive environment in the medium to long term to ensure maximum operational efficiency. Jeez, man, how do you take that right off the bat?
Well, right off the bat, I just have to say I expected nothing less from a company called Digital Bros. What kind of name is that, dude? You're Digital Bro? Like, yeah, you like COD, I bet. But you like Destiny. Like, what the?
That did not even hit me, man. Did Digital not even Bros. Hit me until you just said that.
Listen, Digital Bros. I know
By the way, 505 companies, yeah, get out of here.
505 Games. Look, I know you've been a part of, I think, publishing Control, working on,
yes,
publishing, oh my gosh, I'm embarrassing myself. What's the name of that game?
Death Stranding?
Yeah, the Packet Simulator, yeah, Death Stranding. Yeah. Like, come on, man. These are nice new IP. You know what I'm saying? I, for one, like fresh IP, fresh ideas, right? It keeps the game industry interesting, right? So when you kind of take that away, it's like, I mean, like, I get it, like, some of the established IPs work, and that's certainly the case. But it's just sad to see, like, cutting your workforce to not work on new ideas, not try and garner creativity. That's a...
Yeah,
not a fan.
I'm not a fan either. I'm taking a look right now, and yes, definitely 505 Games has been pushing out a bunch of different titles that are very new. I'm just going through, and like, some of these games I've never heard of before, and I'm not going to read them off, but it's like there's at least five or six in here that I haven't really seen, but then they have some where they just obviously had hits. Like, Death Stranding was a hit. Yep. I think Red Solstice was also a hit. But yeah, I didn't realize they've actually been taking a lot of risks. So with that type of perspective, I think I can understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, it's like, dude, how many times have we talked about it on our podcast where we're mentioning, like, art is, well, video games and creation of video games is a form of artwork, and you should kind of let an artist be an artist, you know?
Yeah, very true.
And I feel like just cutting people out because you didn't get the expectations or, like, the forecast you wanted, I mean, I don't like that at all. Because that's what it just seems like. We're like, oh, well, our mini IPs aren't really working. So let's just get rid of them all together, cut out the studios, stop publishing, and then concentrate on the same stuff that everybody loves already. It's true, though. I mean, not very many people want to branch out and try new things.
Yeah, it's... I mean, yeah. They're not wrong, probably for the majority. I don't know, man. I feel like I like trying new games and new things and IP. I mean, that's one of the reasons I think we kind of do the show is like we branch out, we kind of see what's out there, kind of thing. It's, you know.
Yes.
And you know, I understand we're certainly not like, you know, we're certainly not like out here saying that like gaming is like dead or like it's just not as fun as it once was. Cause I don't know. I think it's cause we see so many different perspectives like each week. It's kind of just like, we have a different perspective on it. And we see the potential and what it will be with like Unreal Engine 5 and kind of all this, like, you know, all these ideas that we see coming out of these studios. So, we watch those indie games, like we watch the indie game, like showcases and stuff. Like, dude, those concepts are nuts. And it's like, you don't get anything nearly like that on most of these AAA studios. So,
And I think a lot of people don't notice it either. Yeah. I think they see the major titles that everybody's been playing and they're just like, they complain about it nonstop. It's like, dude, you can go try something brand new and it can be phenomenal. Yeah. You just got to give it a chance, man. You really do.
Yeah. It's with gaming for sure you do, right? It's like the stuff. I mean, I played like half of As Dusk Falls. I thought that was really interesting and unique, kind of a different, you know, different art style and everything. Certainly not for everyone, but I enjoyed it. I mean, you know, Alan Wake 2 is obviously like a AAA title, but you know, it's that so different. Like, it's so crazy to me because it almost seems like an indie concept. And I feel like that's like what I love about Remedy. It's like, it's so out of the box. You would think it was like, you know, something that a small studio like thought of, but.
Well, I think that's a testament to what game development is now.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's doing the same exact thing because they found a formula to make money. Yeah. Right. But then when you get a studio that like really takes their time to try to do something new, when you get it and you're kind of shocked that it's a AAA title, you know, it's like the AAA titles are all doing the same crap. But that moment you find like that like mint perfect game and you're like, oh, wow. Okay. This is special. That's why I feel like I like Nintendo games so much, because everything that Nintendo puts out, I mean, this is a broad stroke. Most things that Nintendo put out, I feel like, is a unique concept. Otherwise, they wouldn't release it. Like, it's always improved upon, or it's a new concept entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good, solid point. I mean, I think, like, Nintendo does a good job of that. I mean, I think, you know, the developer of Alan Wake 2, like, Remedy, like, with Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls. I mean, like, a lot of those, like, older styles, it was so out of the box, but they were just like classics, I feel like. So
true.
Well, Detroit, come one more come on,
dude. yes you are absolutely right. That thing's amazing. Okay, so before I don't want to dive any further into essentially like what they're talking about with like this one quick statement here. A little bit further in the article, it talks about like Digital Bros say the reductions won't impact the company's expected profit and loss statement for fiscal year 2023 and 2024, with any restructuring costs being offset by all the money they've saved on payroll. So this is a business decision to save the company's financial statements at the end of the year. So as you were discussing your point of view of the article, I went ahead and like did a quick Google search on Digital Bros. They are on the stock market for, I believe, if it's BIT, I think that's British, BIT. No, it's Italian. So I believe so. I don't want to Google, but hey, I did market summary to try to figure out their financials real quick. Year over year, they are down 50% on their stocks. And doing quarterly financials since September 2023, or when the quarterly financials came out in September 2023, they are down year over year. Revenue is down 9.5%. Net income, this one's going to blow you away, they are down 180%. Diluted EPS, or net, how about the net profit margin? Year over year, they're down 189%. Bro, in one quarter, their net profit margin is down close to 12%. So, yeah.
Makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, when you have that type of concept, or that frame of reference, then you're like, Digital Bros owns 505 Games, Kunos, Simulzari, Sri, or whatever, and a couple of other subsidiaries, 505 being their largest subsidiary. They're like, okay, where can we cut people out to, I guess fix this.
Yeah. Makes sense. There was another article I saw too of another studio that was, that they were doing cuts, and, they ended up like shutting down. They had like a development division, a publishing division, and they just like killed their publishing division. It's like, it's crazy. Like publishing, I guess, just, I'm sure it's probably easier to cut, you know, all that.
That's crazy, man.
Publishing and like 505. I mean, they're a huge publisher, right? Like they, that's the, kind of their primary thing is they're publishing a lot of these, you know, huge games. So, you know, it's crazy. They ain't making money.
Yeah, they're in trouble, I think. They're not the only studios. I mean, what did you just find? Oh my god, you blew me away. You sent this to me like the other day. Before we move on to the final article, talking about publishers, developers, Ubisoft, you found out that Ubisoft in the last decade has only had one game that they released that was a score of 90 or above. Remember you sent that to me in a message that blew me away.
I was talking to you about? It's so funny the way he did it in that video too, because it's kind of like,
oh yeah, Rayman Legends.
Yeah, it's like Wii Rayman U. Legends, and it's a great game. It's like, but it's like,
yeah, I know it is.
It's like you see, it's like you see all that. It's like the past decade, how many like Assassin's Creed have they released? How many Far Cry's have they released? How many of these, all of these titles? And it's like, the only one that like had like a solid like solid numbers across the board for reviews was Rayman Legends. It's like, it's wild, man. It's like a decade. Ubisoft Plus is a subscription service that lets you play like these newer releases and you can see all this stuff, but it's like you're paying how much a year for that, and it's like you're not even getting like good games in the eyes of like critics and, you know, players. So it's crazy, man.
It's a whole other thing. It's sad. I think we're going through a major restructuring of the video game like developer market area, like how they do things. They're gonna be way more intentional, and they're probably gonna be super cautious, and hopefully it doesn't get as bad as movies. You know, every movie is the same exact movie, and they keep revitalizing and doing remakes. It's like, dude, I just want something original for the love of God.
It's like, you know, it's been just as bad of that in gaming, of like bringing back old content and beloved titles, or just remaking titles and so on. Which remakes, I'm fine for remakes, especially if like obviously pull from the source material, but like it gives you an opportunity to kind of like take a different direction maybe, or like kind of adjust some things that, you know, maybe fans would appreciate it, kind of thing. I mean, sure, but like, yeah. So things, you know, when you see people like getting rid of like you're not doing new IP, it's like, I don't know, it hurts me.
it depends for me, man, on remakes, just in overall. Like sometimes some things just need to die. Stop trying to reinvent it, you know.
I
just
agree.
Let it die.
Everything needs to have an end, right?
Yeah. So,
like better sooner than later, I feel, for some stuff.
Exactly. I hope I never see a remake of Halo 3. Is that bias? I feel like it's bias. The graphics look better than Halo Infinite. Don't touch it. Don't touch it, dude. Leave it alone.
Well, yeah, I don't know how I'll feel if I see that, and I don't know how most of the community would feel seeing that.
Yeah. But I'm excited to see how you're going to feel at the end of the month. Well, at the beginning of next month, I should say, December 8th, for the Game Awards. I want to know what your thoughts are on the nominated games.
Oh, we're almost there, Mike. We're almost there. 3 weeks. 3 weeks from tomorrow. The 2023 Game Awards nominations are in, and the best game race has never been more competitive. Guess where this is coming, Mike? I don't think most people would guess that are listening right now where this article came from. I'm just gonna take a guess. I don't think anyone would be able to like guess it, because it's so off the wall, you know?
You know what's really funny is, well, first of all, a quick story of how I found this. I always search, and when I find like the major titles from the major publishers that we cover all the time, I always look for the oldest one, because I know that all of them reference each other, but I was like, let's go to the OG content, right?
Yeah.
How could it possibly be GQ? Like, two out of letters, everything, baby. Bro, that
GQ.
We follow.
Oh, man. All right, Scott Meslow, no less a GQ. As this year's awards, Zelda, Mario, and a pair of Spider-Men will lead the particularly crowded field. Log on, gamers. I don't know if I like that sentence, but we continue. We're just weeks away from what will, at least if Jeff Keighley gets his way, be widely described as the Oscars of the video game industry. Now in its 10th year, the annual Game Awards hands out more than 30 trophies in a variety of categories, even Best Adaptation for all the sickos who love the Twisted Metal show on Peacock. But, as usual, all eyes are on the night's top prize, Game of the Year. In 2023, six nominees make for an especially strong group of contenders. So, which game will join God of War, Elden Ring, and It Takes Two in the Game of the Year?
The last Pantheon? Three, I think. Were those the last three in order?
I think so. It Takes Two was 21.
Hades.
Right? Elden Ring was last year
as well.
That was 22. It Takes Two is 21. God of War. God, was God of War last year? I don't even remember. I don't know. I'm lost. I don't remember what last year was.
I'm surprised they didn't say.
Maybe God of War 2018. Wasn't that Game of the Year? That makes sense. God of War, like first God of War.
I'm going to look it up.
Let's break down this year's nominees. Why they do and don't deserve the honor. Ladies and gentlemen, guess what the first one is?
Am I supposed to tell them?
Alan
Wake 2. The game that you've been grinding? The game that you've been recently playing?
It's a little bit of a surprise, but anyway. They said GQ's pros. It's a long in the works sequel that actually lived up to the hype. Genuinely scary, but at times also extremely funny. Part of the shared universe, more interesting than anything coming out of Hollywood right now. Probably the closest we'll ever get to the video game adaptation of Twin Peaks: The Return. What a description! What a description! You know, it's I mean, look, do I have to sit here and justify why I think Alan Wake 2 is a good game based on everything we've heard? And I mean, come on, it got a nom, and we're talking about a game that came out a month ago, two weeks ago.
Oh, nom. I want to correct myself real quick before we get blasted in the comments. Hades did not win Game of the Year. I think they were nominated.
Oof.
I think that's what it was. I knew it was a big deal because they're an indie dev. Sorry. We can continue.
We continue on. Baldur's Gate 3 is also up for Game of the Year nomination. I mean, dude, not surprised. Talking about Dungeons and Dragons in a video game, essentially, right? Like, come
it
on.
Really
There's
is.
Roles.
Yeah.
It's well thought out universe. People are loving it.
People are obsessed.
I saw an article. Someone apparently got it at release, and they haven't gotten to the character creation screen. Like, they're still creating their character. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I saw. I saw an article that could be true. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it might be. I heard it takes forever to finish.
Yeah. It's Dungeons and Dragons. The game is massive. You can hook up with a guy that turns into a bear. I mean, come on, Mike. It's got everything. You know what I'm saying? You can hook up with a woman devil thing. I saw that too on a stream. That was crazy.
I heard it's completely unhinged stuff going on.
It's unhinged. The cons that GQ says is that this game is really, really big. would have been great at the height of the pandemic. But it's crazy now. Up next as well, Marvel's Spider-Man 2. I think just from watching the gameplay, I don't even need to see the reviews. Just from watching the gameplay, I knew it was probably going to be a Game of the Year contender. I mean, come on.
Easily. I mean, it's one of the biggest titles ever. IPs.
Yeah, I'm excited to play this game eventually when it releases on the personal computer, you know? So, very excited. It says, it briefly turns into a Gears of War clone starring Mary Jane for some reason. That's their con.
That's a con.
Very interesting. I heard a little bit of, just a little bit of controversy on this one, because it is a remake. So it's kind of just it's...
I don't think remakes should ever be in an award. Yeah. Maybe like for the award of best remake.
A lot of people were sharing. A lot of people were sharing that sentiment too. It's like, I don't know about this. This is kind of a weird one. Resident Evil 4 remake is up for a nomination. Took a first round draft pick in the best video games of all time conversation and somehow made it better. That is, well said. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
What a quote. You know, it really is one of those of like, it's arguably top five, top 10 of like greatest games ever. And the remake did make it way better somehow. It impressed me. This is one of those games I played this year where I was just like, Capcom, man. they're doing these remakes the best way you probably can, you know? I give it to him there. It is a great game. It is a remake, though, and I can second that sentiment of like, I don't know if I'd necessarily throw it in as a game of the year for this year. I mean, it was a fantastic game, but it's like, it's just hard to say like a remake is like, you know... It's like there's all these original, amazing IPs coming out. Resident Evil 4, like it's a redone formula kind of thing. But, also a con is they charge $10 for a side story that should have been free. upsetting. But, you know, here we are.
Yeah. I mean, money. That's always going to be a con.
You already know Nintendo's in this category somehow, Mike. Super Mario
not
Bros.
Just once either.
Super Mario Bros. Wonder Baby is one of those games. Nearly 40 years since the original Super Mario Bros. Dropped, and nobody else has figured out how to deliver pure fun like Nintendo. It's Mario but tripping on drugs every level. I feel like I've heard that from a few people about Mario Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Yeah. It's like, it's just crazy to watch. But yeah, it's no surprise, right? It's Super Mario Bros. Wonder. I mean, just looking at the trailers and stuff, I was like, I mean, this is Nintendo, baby. Like, this is a hit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
dude, you know what you're getting. Yeah. I love his cons because he's obviously trolling. They're like, they're not real cons.
Yeah. The flowers won't shut up.
Mario says, wowie zowie.
Oh, and the final nomination, Mike, also coming out of the Nintendo camp. I'm sure a lot of people listening right now probably have already guessed what this game is. But it is without a doubt the sequel to the iconic Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. The sequel to what was somehow the best Zelda game of all time, and it didn't fumble the ball. I would say bag there, but that's just me. I'm not the author.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Shockingly pretty and smooth on increasingly outdated hardware. Justice for Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, I guess. Cons, I swear, if that idiot makes me help him keep his sign from tipping over one more time. I have no idea what that means because I haven't played the games.
it's a reference of a character where he has a sign that falls over, so you have to go help him set it up. Oh, and it's like you use kinetics and statics and all these different abilities in the game. It's a puzzle game. Mixed in with like one of the best stories ever.
Dare I say, just from reading about the game. Dare I say this could be a contender just for the fact that they developed like a full-on physics engine in this universe, delayed the game, and it was perfect. Like, they dropped it, and I was like, oh, wow, it's actually really good. Thankfully, they delayed it, because if this was bad, it would have, like, oh, it would have not looked good.
Yeah. I mean, we're out of these nominations, which ones do you think deserve it?
Which ones? It's like, I'll be honest. Alan Wake 2 is a very recent release, so I'm kind of surprised. Yeah. It's kind of like, but that just goes to show you, a lot of people have already played it, and they already saw how good it was. It was like undeniable. They're like, all right, we got to include it, right? So it's like, okay, right. I mean, come on, Alan Wake, the first Alan Wake was a very hit or miss, I feel like, for a lot of people, but it seems like this one is like, okay, this was done very well, and done probably, and this did like the Alan Wake IP justice, I feel like. For what could have been like a lackluster first entry.
Let's give you, before you answer that question I just gave you, let's give you and the audience a little bit of context. I'll read you the last five winners of Game of the Year. Okay? Last one we know, Elden Ring.
Yeah.
That was 2022. 2021 was It Takes Two. 2020, as you know, The Last of Us Part Two. Then 2019, you have Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
Ooh.
And then, And then you have 2018, God of War. And then, of course, 2017 was Breath of the Wild. So 6 years ago. Now, who do you think on the list that have been nominated can be at the same level as all of those other games?
It is, I must say, it is so ridiculously hard for me to pick, because just of every, like, we cover everything so closely now, it's like I feel like I've seen all of the good in these games, and like how it's like, okay, this is the first time this IEP's ever done this, or this is the first time this game's ever done this. I feel like Baldur's Gate 3, I'm really happy for people that have played it, because like a lot of people were looking for that Dungeons and Dragons experience, and I feel like it was done the best so far in this game.
Agreed.
And it's a huge game for them. Which, good or bad, right? I mean, some people hate long games.
First of all of these games are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. that's why it's so hard, right? Because all these games are amazing. I mean,
yeah.
Marvel Spider-Man 2, I mean, arguably PlayStation's best IP right now. Like, aside from
I think it's hand down their best IP. I think it's better than The Last of Us.
All right, I don't know, but you know what? Agree to disagree. I'll have to say. Anyways, moving on.
Okay.
Resident Evil 4 Remake. I would not pick. Again, I think it's just because it's, you know, it's a remake. It's like, great game. Compared to the other games, though, I just, I, no. there's no way that's winning. I'd be surprised if that wins.
I will also equally be surprised. I think that's an easy last. That's like the goat that you bring to the slaughter in Survivor. Like, you're going to win.
Yeah. Super Mario Bros. Wonder, I don't think is going to win. Unless there's like some crazy like uproar in the next couple weeks and it's like people are like, oh, I love this game. I don't know. Like, I just don't think, I don't think Mario's going to win. Great game. Don't think it's going to win.
Agreed.
Tears of the Kingdom, I may go as far to say is I don't think it's going to win. And just because like we've had Breath of the Wild, this is like a Breath of the Wild like plus almost. Like, yeah, there's that whole movement system and it introduces a whole like other element to the game, which is fantastic and is needed for a sequel to something like Breath of the Wild. I just also feel like it's very much like, if I'm not, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure there's like the Breath of the Wild map is in this, but there's like different layers now. It's like there's like a underworld kind of thing and like an overworld. I could be wrong.
I don't want to go too much into detail about it, yeah. But it's similar to the original map, but
yeah.
There's like a greater calamity and chaos within the game itself, like the story of the game. So yeah. The map and the world you live on is now like partially suspended in air.
Interesting. Cool concept.
It's a wild, wild concept in game. It's like, it's really good.
Yeah. Look, a great game. I don't think I would have voted for Game of the Year. But then again, I didn't play it. So like, I can't. This is why I'm not on the panel. Because like, I just don't. A lot of these games I just haven't played. My reasoning, I don't know. I'll stick with my reasoning in the fact that I think it's like, yeah, it's a great like kind of, you know, sequel to Breath of the Wild, but there's still like, you know, there's some reused stuff in it, and it's kind of just like Breath of the Wild plus. I feel like I don't know. Don't roast me in the comments, all right? That's just kind of what I'm assessing as someone who did not play these games and just heard what other people said. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think Breath of the Wild. I don't think Wonder. I don't think Resident Evil 4 Remake. I don't know which leaves right Spider-Man, Baldur's Gate 3, Alan Wake 2. You know what?
Yep.
I think I'm gonna do a cop out answer. You ready for this, Mike?
Uh-oh.
There is one game that was not mentioned that has caused a huge uproar in the community.
We know what
huge
it is.
Uproar, yeah. Quote unquote. Bro, where is Hogwarts Legacy, Mike? Where is it? I don't see it.
Let me ask you, where's the author?
I know you're gonna say that. There's a lot of controversy around it, and that's why they're not gonna do it. But like, the game was undeniable, I feel like. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I know they politically they will never do it, but like, I don't know, I enjoyed the game, you know.
That's kind of what you have to consider as well, right? Like, it's really bad with the Grammys. There's a
really
bit
bad.
Of politics that really go into the award ceremony.
Yeah.
And I think games is more appropriate. You can't really compare it to the Grammys exactly, because I don't think there should be awards in general for music. I think it's a silly concept. But for games, a little bit more engineering behind it, there's actual, like, I don't know how to really describe it. It's like, it's more for profit, I think. Less expression in a way than music, but it's still art. Whatever. I'm getting a little bit sidetracked here. I think that's why they didn't include it. And I agree with you. It's the political aspect of what the game represents and who created the IP originally and what they've said in the past. There would be an outroar. It would be even worse if they won Game of the Year. So they're like, let's not even include it.
Yeah, fair. I have to give the studio flowers, though. The devs that poured their heart and soul into that game, because it was really good. I think really good kind of representation of outside of, like, the, you know, in the Harry Potter universe, but kind of outside of the main storyline. Anyway.
100%. You know what the irony is? Is that I guarantee you that there are people that J.K. Rowling doesn't like and has outspokenly said things against them and their, like, a belief system-wise that developed that game.
Yeah, likely,
which is,
you know.
Yeah, highly likely. So, yeah. Complicated issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
what do you think?
Look, if I'm picking a Game of the Year, kind of out of what I've played and what I've heard and experienced, I know Alan Wake 2 came out recently, but I don't know. It's so different and so unique in terms of like a single player experience. I haven't really played anything like it, I feel like. Like, aside from like maybe like Control or something like that, but there's even aspects in Alan Wake 2 that, you know, are new and fresh, right? So it's
true.
It's I don't know. I like Alan Wake 2.
So you're going with Alan Wake 2?
I'd like, if I was picking this, I'd probably say Alan Wake 2.
Okay.
Will it actually win? I don't know. Probably not. Maybe Baldur's Gate.
I think it's going to come down to two, and I don't think it's going to be Alan Wake 2.
Yeah. Okay.
I think your fear of Alan Wake 2 came out recently, and that's why it's not going to be included for Game of the Year. There are only a handful of games that I can really think of off the top of my head that came late in the year that were nominated the same year, like literally months later, and ended up winning. One of them being Halo Combat Evolved, I think, won Game of the Year, and it was out for like 2 months, I think, at most. It wasn't that long.
Undeniable. So you understand? Undeniable.
Yeah.
And there's something
else. So I don't know about Alan Wake 2. I know there's a lot of hype. I think it's too recent of a game. I think it's really going to come down to two games, Baldur's Gate 3 and Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think Zelda's those on the
two feet. Zelda on the 2 feet. Kind of, even though it's not a repeat.
It's a two-peat for them because if you consider like when they were published and released. Yep. So I think it's going to go to Zelda. I really do. Mm. Everybody that has played Tears of the Kingdom, they're always just like, it's better than Breath of the Wild. And Breath of the Wild was arguably the greatest. Breath of the Wild to me is better than Ocarina of Time. That crap was insane. And the fact that they basically topped it, bro, like, come on. You're going to have the top three greatest games of all time be Zelda right now? This is wild. And I think that's what's about to happen. We're going to find out December 8th. We should have a little gentleman's agreement. Some type of bet. We got to come up with one.
Was it? We could start drawing up like sports odds for these. Like Zelda minus 1,000. Like Alan Wake plus 500.
It's true. You know what I'm going to do? I've been meaning to do this for a while, and this is actually perfect. So the pod in Spotify, they have the ability to add a poll. So for people that are watching in video format, go to the comments and tell us who you would vote for who you think should win. But I'm going to do a poll of who do you think wins Game of the Year. I'm going to put all these games down, and we'll see if anybody votes for it, lets us know what they think. And we'll cover it next episode.
You know what? Does Twitter poll allow 5 or 6 options in a poll? We could do a Twitter poll.
I think so.
So yeah, we could set up like a couple days, throw a poll up, see how many votes we get.
Yeah.
see what people think. I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah. We'll compress the video and then upload it to Twitter as well. That's what we're gonna do.
If we had the community pages options on YouTube, we could do a YouTube poll. Fortunately, we do not. That's true. We do not have those means. But you know,
no, we'll kind of say like and subscribe.
Like subscribe, that's all I'm saying. But yeah, dude, I'm excited for Game Awards. I don't know, it's something about this show I'm always excited for. It's that time of the year where it's like the sell. Like I love how devs and studios get their flowers, and it's like the night for that. So
it's very cool to see. It's also cool to see like the random teasers from the indie devs. It's a good opportunity for them to get some spotlight. The other aspect that I'm really gonna enjoy is all the rumors for the new Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
So, dude, I'm hoping to see the trailer.
If there's anything I bet on, it's a GTA 6 trailer at the Game Awards next month. I'm betting.
I bet you they do the Game Award. This is what they're gonna do, bro. Well, as a producer, what do you think would be better? Would you open with Grand Theft Auto and just show the trailer right off the bat, or would you do it before or after announcing Game of the Year? If you do it after, then all anybody's going to talk about is who, like Grand Theft Auto. They're not going to talk about who won Game of the Year.
The Thunder Game of the Year. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I think you got to do it at the beginning of the episode the beginning of the broadcast, so the live stream, so that people are really excited. And then all of a sudden, the Game Awards announce Grand Theft Auto, and then that goes viral together. Hmm. And then everybody knows.
Oh, wait a minute. Blah, blah, blah. And they just go in.
And then they go, and everybody, it's like the most viewership ever, because they're like, oh, if there's going to be any more teasers for Grand Theft Auto, it's going to be great. True.
Yeah. So. But with all due respect to these Game of the Year nominees, I mean, when was the last time a GTA game came out? Listen, when was the last time a GTA game came out, Mike? And then what happens when a GTA game comes out? What happens?
The internet breaks.
Everything explodes. Everyone buys it. We break records. That's what Rockstar does, right? With these games.
That's what they do. It really
with
is,
all due respect, respectfully to these Game of the Year noms, I'm just saying, bro. You throw it at the end, like, be kind of nuts. Yeah. If you disrespect me, I'm gonna be kind of nuts.
Yeah. I'm getting Grand Theft Auto, and then you're not gonna see me for at least a week.
Oh yeah, I'll be honest.
We're canceling the pod that week.
that's a pre-order I'll do no matter what. You know what I'm saying? I don't even care if it's bad. It's just like, oh, whatever, GTA. I'm not saying we condone so pre-orders here, but, you know, for that game, it's like, oh, man. It's almost undeniable.
It's so true, man.
It's almost undeniable, dude. Oh, goodness. Man.
All right, brother. We got a game to watch, and that's all we got for this week's articles. So we should just let the people go.
We really
what
should.
What do you think?
I think we should. We're at a, yeah, we're almost at an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been watching the timer, and we had a good rant going for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But we got plenty of segments, so if you want to digest the easy stuff and you've been sticking around, we do like 10, 15 minute at most segments where we cover all these different topics that we find interesting that we think you guys would like to hear. The highlights, I think.
Yeah, we always do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All the links are in the description below if you want to go check them out, including our socials. So everything we've covered, I mean, if you're watching the video, you saw who we're covering. We gave them citations, but the links are down below. You can go click on them, check them out. Timestamps as well. That usually helps for people. And I guess that's it, man. You want to let them go? We'll see you guys later.
Thanks for listening.
Peace out,
everyone.
The M2 Podcast. Michael Anthony, Kyle Heath. See you later. Time to eat, brother.
Please.